I can hold on to all my stuff, I will get up here and we will begin. I thought I was going to have a lucky day. I opened up my songbook and my songbook was already marked to the invitation song. And I was thinking, wow, what a lucky day I'm going to have. And then I drop everything as I come up the steps. But it is certainly good to see each of you here this morning. We are thankful for everyone's presence together this morning. I hope that it's been beneficial us already being here together. As we studied in our classes this morning, I hope that it was beneficial to you to be here, to study from God's Word. The children had challenge papers handed out at the end of class. If they didn't get one of those, they didn't have that opportunity. I believe they still have some back in the back at the media booth if you would, or they would like to get one of those. We're certainly thankful for each of you. We're thankful that we're here together. It's our prayer this morning that our study during this time will be beneficial to all of us, that we can glean something from God's Word, that we can apply it to our lives, and that we can be better Christians going forward than we have been in the past. I'm thankful for the men who've already participated this morning. Thank Jake for reading the Scriptures this morning. We will get to those verses that he read shortly. I'm thankful for Brad leading our singing, for Will leading the prayer. I wonder if you have ever had a bad day. I wonder if you've ever had some situation in your life that just ruined your day. Maybe it ruined your week. Maybe whatever it is you're dealing with ruined an entire month for you. Maybe it ruined a year. At some point in your life, you may have felt broken, not knowing what to do, where to go, not knowing who to turn to, how you're going to overcome whatever the situation you're dealing with is. Sometimes we as humans feel broken. It's not something that we study about very often, but it's actually a topic that we find throughout Scripture. The idea of the broken man. People dealing with things in their lives that they don't know how they're going to overcome. People dealing with things in their lives that we still today deal with. People dealing with problems that are difficult and unbearable. And we don't know what to do. I'd like for us to study about five broken men this morning. We're going to go through them quickly. I hope that Troy's ready to take notes. All of the verses won't be on the overhead this morning. I would invite you to take out your Bibles and read along as we study together. First broken man that we're going to talk about is Job. Most of us are probably familiar with the story of Job. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East." Job was a rich man. It could be easily said that he was one of, if not the richest man in the world. But that's just the beginning for Job. As we remember Job's story and the things that happened, people began to come in to tell Job all the things that are happening in his life at once. All of those donkey and oxen, all of those camels, they're all stolen. All of those sheep are burned with fire. All of his servants are killed. All of his sons and daughters die tragically at the same time. And Job finds out all of these things within a matter of minutes. as they happen. Job's friends come to see him. Job chapter 2, we're told that his three friends come and they see the state that Job is in. Verse 11 there talks about, or verse 13 talks about the grief that Job has. See, Job is broken emotionally. Job is sitting on the ground. Because after all of these things that have happened, then he's struck with boils. He's struck with these sores all over his body. Scripture tells us from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. And he's sitting there in ashes. His friends come and they see him. And they see this emotionally broken man. And all they do is sit. For 7 days, these four men sit. And they don't say a word. How can we relate? That's not the end of the story of Job. But I want us to think about how can we relate to him in this state? What about you and what about me? Have you ever suffered some great loss? Have you ever lost a loved one? I'm sure most of us have. Have you ever lost a spouse or a child or a parent? Have you ever lost a brother or a sister? Have you ever had to deal with some emotional loss in your life? Some great tragedy? People come to you and they see how you are. They see the state that you're in. They don't even know what to say. Sometimes they don't say anything. But just them being there is comforting to you. Are we emotionally broken? Our other broken man is actually some broken men. The 10 lepers. The story of them is found in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. We won't read all of those verses. I'd like to just focus on a couple of those verses. Verses 15 through 17, it says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? These men are lepers, and that's something that we see throughout Scripture, though we don't focus on it very often, but this was a disease of the skin. Something that was looking on as very unclean. Thought to be highly contagious. And so these people who were lepers were put out of town. They weren't to have any contact with people. The book of Leviticus tells us about how they're not even to look up. You're not even supposed to return a greeting if someone speaks to you, because you might make them sick as well. Talks about the cleansing process as you go to the priest. Takes multiple days going and seeing the priest to be cleansed. That's who these men are. These are men that have been put out of town, but they see Jesus and they ask for help. And Jesus sends them to the priest. All 10 are cleansed, but only one returns. That's the one we usually focus on, is the one that returns to Jesus. But Jesus asks about the 9. These men are broken physically. They are physically broken in their life. How do we relate to that? there are many amongst us that are physically broken. There are those amongst us that have sicknesses and disease. There are those amongst us who don't know what to do but to look to someone else. To look to someone else for help. Many times we do the very thing that these 10 lepers did. We look to God. We ask God for help dealing with our sicknesses. Because we too become physically broken. But which part do we play? Do we play the part of the one leper? Or do we play the part of the nine? When we're healed by God, when we overcome that sickness or that disease, or we overcome that surgery or whatever it is, do we give God the thanks? Or are we just like the nine who goes on their way? Are we physically broken? Our next broken man is the prodigal son. His story is found in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. The prodigal son there, we'll just focus on a couple of verses again. Verses 16 through 21. It says, "And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. No one gave him anything. But when he had come to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Prodigal son is broken financially. This is a man, we remember his story, who asked for his inheritance early. He asked for his father to give him a third of everything that he has. A third of the things that he would receive upon his father's death, but he asked for it while he's still living. It says he goes out with prodigal living, this wasteful living. He goes out and he blows it. And he finds himself sitting with the pigs, wishing that he could eat the food that they have because he has nothing. And it's a desperate situation that he finds himself in. And it causes him to really think about who he is and the things that he's done. He's broken financially, but it causes him to make changes. So how can we relate? How can we relate to a man who takes everything and blows it and is left with nothing? I think a lot of us can relate. I think a lot of us have probably found ourselves at some point in our lives struggling financially. It may not have been because of wasteful living like this man. But sometimes in our lives, we have to step back and look at our situation. And the situation that we are living in may cause us to make changes in our lives. And I hope that it does. There's great comfort at the end of this story, not because the man turns around, changes the way that he's living, but because of the way his father receives him. just as God would for us. We can make changes in our lives, and God will forgive. Are we broken financially? Our next broken man is the rich young ruler. The story is found in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus to ask Him, what do I need to do? What else can I do? Because I feel as though I've done everything. In fact, that's what he tells Jesus. Verses 21 through 23, it says, and he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. So all that you have and distribute to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Rich young ruler was broken spiritually. He had great things in his life. Things that were so great that when he was standing face to face with Christ, he didn't want to give them up. He didn't want to give up those things for better things. I think it's pretty easy to see how we can relate to the rich young ruler. See, we get so caught up in this life that we can't see what our ultimate goal should be. We get so caught up in the things that we do every day and the things that we're trying to attain every day that we can't see the ultimate goal of heaven. We too are broken spiritually, just like the rich young ruler. Rich young ruler was a special circumstance. See, because as he was standing there, face to face with Jesus, telling him, no, I won't do it. I won't give up what I have. He was standing face to face with our fifth broken man. Isaiah chapter 53. Verses 4 and 5, it says, speaking of Christ, surely He has borne our griefs, carried away our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Jesus is our fifth broken man. We're going to remember in just a few moments the things that Christ suffered for us. Crown of thorns on his head. Men mocking him and spitting upon him. The beatings that he took. Being hung on a cross. Jesus was wounded, was broken for us. Not because He deserved it, but because we deserved it. All He wants is for us to make a change. To change the things in our life. To pick up the broken pieces that are in our lives and fix them. Jake read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. We're going to focus on just a couple of verses here in a moment, I'd like to tell you a story from the other night. As most of you know, we've recently built a house, and we've been living there for a while, but I'm too cheap to sod the entire yard, and so we've been putting grass seed out. Angela and I have spent hours raking the yard of all the rocks to put this seed out. The other night, I was out there working in the yard, raking the dirt. I sowed some seed there, and we raked the dirt back over it. Sam was playing in the neighbor's yard. I got the hose out, and I started watering where I had sowed that seed. Sam noticed what I was doing across the yard, said, "Daddy, why are you watering that dirt?" "Oh, well, there's seed in here. You know, you just can't see it." That answer wasn't good enough, so he stopped what he was doing, and he came over. "Daddy, why are you watering this dirt?" "Well, there's more to it than just dirt. There's a seed there, and I hope that it's going to grow." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, it says, Paul there speaking, says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, so that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." See, our lives are just like me watering that dirt. Sam couldn't see the seeds, but I knew they were there. In our lives, God can see beyond the dirt. God sees more in our lives than someone who is emotionally broken. God sees more in our lives than someone who is physically broken. God sees more in our lives than someone who is financially broken. God sees more in our lives than someone who is spiritually broken. God sees more than our dirt. God wants us to do what's right. God wants us to change our lives and make our lives better. God wants us to pick up the broken pieces and not be a broken person anymore. We can do that through Him. We can turn to God and pick our lives up. If you're here this morning and you are broken in any way, we want you to know that we would like to help. If you're broken emotionally or physically, financially, spiritually, any way that you are broken, we want you to know that God will help you. If you're here this morning and you have some need, some way that you would ask for prayers on your behalf, sin that's public in nature, or if you wish to become a Christian, if there's anything that we can do, we would invite you to come while together we stand.